Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my team and I produce content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. Hello and welcome back. I'm joined by co-hosts Mia and Frank. In today's episode, and our first episode of 2025, we have the privilege of talking with several guests from Taylor University. And according to the U.S. News and World Report's annual college and university ranking for 2025, Taylor University ranks in the top three of regional colleges in the Midwest of the United States. The Midwest includes 11 states, which are North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Then, in our second segment, we'll be having an internal discussion, apart from our guest, about the main theme of this episode, which is what makes a college or a university great. But before we get into our first segment, let's hear our quote of the day and get some headline news.
Our quote of the day comes from none other than The Rock or Dwayne Johnson. He's quoted to have said, "Success isn't always about greatness, it's about consistency. Consistent hard work leads to success. Greatness will come." This quote emphasizes the importance of pursuing consistency. It suggests that success is not achieved by chasing perfection or extraordinary results right away, but rather through steady, determined efforts over time. By focusing on consistent hard work, even small incremental progress can lead to meaningful achievements. It's a reminder that success is often built on persistence and dedication to daily actions rather than sudden grand outcomes. The quote also highlights that greatness seems to be a byproduct of sustained effort over time. The accumulation of consistent effort will naturally lead to exceptional results, allowing greatness to emerge as a reward for hard work and discipline. And that's our quote of the day. Now onto some headline news with Mia.
Thank you for our quote of the day, Frank. Our first headline comes from Washington, D.C., where the new elected president, Donald Trump, has been sworn in and vows to enact many new executive orders throughout his first 100 days in office. Also, on his way out of office, President Joe Biden again granted student loan forgiveness to over 150,000 borrowers in his final days of office. This brings the total number of people who have received student loan relief under Biden's administration to 5 million, with over $182 million granted. Our next headline is about the fires in Los Angeles. Among burning thousands of structures, the fires also destroyed schools and educational sanctuaries. As you may have heard, the fires in LA spread to schools, including the Eaton Canyon Nature Center, Odyssey Charter School, and Elliott Arts Magnet Middle School, disrupting education for countless students. Poor air quality has further limited access to unaffected areas like Griffith Park, and over 300 schools across Southern California had to close. Experts are doing their best to restore normalcy to Los Angeles as quickly as possible. And finally, our final headline. A school in London is implementing a four-day week, and students love it. Liberty Woodland School, for students aged 4 to 16, is experimenting with ideas that might break the concept of a stereotypical school. Their facilities are yurt-style tents, and they are now experimenting with a four-day week due to the shortage of teachers. As of now, most, if not all, of the students' feedback is positive. And that's our headline news for this episode.
All right, thank you for the quote and the headline news. We'll jump into our first segment with our special guest from Taylor University. Mia will get us started with our guest on the broad topic of what makes a college or university great. So go ahead and get us started, Mia.
Yeah. Hi, guys, and welcome to the podcast. Thank you both for joining us today. And to get started, could you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do and where you are from.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mia. My name is Andy Gammons. I'm the Executive Director of Admissions at Taylor University. I've been at Taylor for 4 years in this position, but I'm also a 1999 Taylor grad, so it's been really great to be back. I have six kids. Three of them have been at Taylor so far. I met my wife at Taylor back in the day, and we're excited to be back at the university. We live about a mile from campus, and it's a great place to be. We're thankful to be a part of it.
Yeah, my name's Tyler Smith. I serve as Andy's intern this year, so I have the privilege of traveling to Bangkok and in Chiang Mai as well, but I get to travel and network with you guys and tell you about the school that I so dearly love. And yeah, it's super great. I'm a marketing major and a sport management minor. And then I call home to Huntington. It's about 35 minutes north of Taylor. And I am, so Andy has six kids. I am one of six kids. I am the second oldest of six kids. So yep, it's a little bit about me.
All right. Thank you both so much. So our broad theme for this episode is sort of about the question, what makes a college or a university great? And so based on this theme, how do colleges and universities measure success in a way that positively shapes a student's future?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think a really great theme. And I think one of the challenges is, how do you compare universities? How do you compare colleges? Because they all are really, really different. And I think that's one of the things. Yesterday, when we were working with some students here at ICS, I asked them the question, tell me about your perfect college experience. And I think it's such a wonderful question to start that conversation for students, because that's really going to shape the type of university or the type of college that you want to pursue. For instance, if you say, man, I want great research opportunities, or I want the most prestigious place that I can go in order to launch me into a career that's going to be world shaping, that's going to be a particular type of university. But somebody might say, man, I really want a university where I can build deep relationships with my faculty and staff and with students. Well, that's going to be a very different university than probably that research university. So I think that's a really great question to start with. And I encourage the students that we talked with yesterday to have that conversation with their parents, because that's going to be a great university for you, Mia, might not be a great university for Tyler, and might not be a great university for Frank, right? Now, that being said, I do think there are some metrics that go across the board. There are outside college rankings. One of the things that we're talking about right now, Forbes just put out a list of colleges and their financial health. And that's a really, really important list to look at. Yeah. So we talked to a dad yesterday whose daughter was at a school that closed. That's not a good outcome, yeah. Right? So I think looking at the health of an institution, some of their stats about career outcomes, you know, do students get a job afterwards? For instance, at Taylor University, 99% of our students are in jobs or in graduate school within 6 months of graduation. That's important, right?
Yeah.
We call that our success rate. That compares to about 85% nationally. But we're even more excited about our excellence rate, which is 93%. That means students are in full-time jobs in their desired field within 6 months of graduation. And that compares to only about 56% nationally. So those are good stats to look at, right? Yeah. If you're at a school where only 56% of their students are in full-time jobs at the end, within 6 months of graduation, that should give you some pause, right?
Yes.
Now, again, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple years ago that said it's way more about the student than it is about the institution. So it was talking about Ivy League institutions and said there are students that graduate from Ivy League institutions and go and work at Starbucks. And then there are students that graduate from a significantly less prestigious university and go on to change the world. So it's way more about the student. But nevertheless, I think it's a really good question that we're going to have some time to talk about today.
Thank you so much on that. And along the same idea of student-centered approach, our next question is related to networking and connections. So how important is networking and alumni engagement to our college and universities?
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially for those career outcomes, right? So especially when you're 22 years old, you have very few skills. even if you've really nailed it and you've gotten really good, it really is about who you know and the types of experiences you've gained during college. So Tyler, talk a little bit about the internships that you've had and maybe even how you got those internships.
Yeah. So I'll touch on this internship a little bit. So last year, I worked on our admissions crew staff that we have at Taylor. CREW stands for Campus Representatives for Encouragement and Welcoming. So that's how I serve. I gave campus tours. I helped with a lot of the special events that we do into the evenings. And then I hosted people overnight in our room or in my room. And then I lunch hosted people too. So when visitors would come and, you know, visit our campus, I would just eat lunch with them and ask them, you know, about their day and, you know, what they're doing. So that's what I did. And then I had known Andy previously. Andy was my boss last year too. So I had known him previously. And this time last year, he reached out to me and said, hey, I would love to have an intern this year. And, you know, I see what you've been doing in our office and that sort of thing. And so I was planning to be a resident assistant. I turned that down to take this job. And that has been, I mean, such a blessing. And so that was one of the internships I've done. And then over the summer, I got to work in sports insurance for the past three summers. I'm hoping to do my fourth. And so they just insure things from a small mini golf place to, you know, a giant arena where, you know, a national team would play. And so it's very interesting and it's very niche. And I think one of the big things of how I got those internships is I think my loyalty and dedication to those things. You know, I love Taylor so much and I love what I do. And I just kind of put, you know, all of myself into my work. Colossians 3:23 is one of my favorite verses. And so I live by that verse. And that's just how I live. And so I don't know if you want to.
Your dad worked for that insurance company.
Right.
And so that was helpful in that networking opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think it really is, who do you know and who are the people in your network?
Yeah.
And alumni can really be helpful with that. So for instance, there are institutions that have really positive, really exciting alumni responses. So 97% of Taylor parents would say they'd do it all over again. That's part of that network,
yeah.
Right? So it's going to be, I'm going to call Drew Smith, Tyler's dad, if I want to do an internship in insurance.
Got it.
Right? Because I know Tyler. I know that Tyler's dad works in insurance. Those are those types of things. And I know that Drew loves Taylor. So those networking opportunities, especially in that first job, very few 22-year-olds get hired because of their resume. Right? Very, very few. And so, because their resume is just so thin. And so, therefore, it's, well, I have this connection, and alumni can really be a great part of that.
Yeah, all right, thank you. And this is just a follow-up question for me, but like when you did those internships, were you paid? Or was it?
Yes, both of them were.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Good to know, because I actually did an internship as well at a law firm here.
Okay.
I didn't get paid, but it was more like, I was like, I'm still a high school student, and so.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Nice that you got paid, yeah.
Well, and those internship opportunities really are key. So I was working at another institution,
yeah.
And this young woman came back for this,
yeah.
From the summer, and, uh-huh. And I said, how was your time? She had worked as an intern in a senator's office in Washington, D.C.
Whoa.
And she said, well, it wasn't that great. I definitely know I don't want to do politics.
Got
and I said,
it.
That sounds like a successful internship to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You know, part of those experiences in high school and college are to kind of hone and push
yeah.
push into, well, I thought I liked this, but and so she said, I really actually like
yeah.
the research side of politics more. So successful internship, in my opinion. So whether you're paid or not, paid is better, right?
Yeah.
Of course. But whether you're paid or not, that's
yeah.
still a good resume builder and
yeah, for sure.
continuing to shape and,
yeah.
and hone that network.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thank you. Now, our next question. So this question is sort of like the idea of educational trends, future growth, and importance. And so what factors do you think, beyond rankings and prestige, should students and families consider when evaluating a college or a university?
Yeah, so let me talk. I'll talk about a couple things.
Yeah.
First of all, I think that one of the questions to ask is, who does this institution want me to become?
Got it.
And that is a great question for the admissions office. It's a great question for professors when you go to visit. Who do you want me to become? And if the answer fits with what you're looking for, great. For me, I want to be at a place that wants me to become more like Jesus Christ.
Got it. Yeah.
And wants me to make an impact on his world. So that's the institution that I chose. Now, there would be other people that might say, if an institution says, we want you to be a world changer, okay, maybe that's good enough. Or we want you to be a better welder. Okay, maybe that's good enough. Maybe that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So that for me is a great question. And there are definitely institutions that don't have an answer for that.
Got it.
Oh, we haven't really thought that through. We just are pushing out diplomas and so that should be, if they don't have an answer for that, I think that's a scary thing, right? But at a place like Taylor University, at a place that's a Christian liberal arts institution, our answer is that we exist to have people who have a passion for Jesus Christ to go out and change the world. And so that's, we have that answer down pat, right? And I think there are examples of that and of people who are doing that on a daily basis through a real deep commitment to servant leadership. So that has nothing to do with rankings. That has nothing to do with how good somebody might say, but I really do think it goes to the mission of the institution and does that mission align with who you want to be for the next 40, 50, 60 years of your life.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point because like, if you were to choose a college, say Harvard, but then that doesn't necessarily align with your mindset, it could actually not be as good as some community college.
Totally. So we talk a lot about fit.
Yeah.
So you might get into a very prestigious institution, but it might not be a good fit for you.
Right.
And so that's a really, really important piece. What kind of fit are you looking for? So I always talk to students and say, this is a place that I love. It's a place that Tyler loves. It's a place that the students that come here, I think overall love, but it may not be the best fit for you. And so your job, students and families, is to find the place that's the best fit. And I think that's going to help you accomplish your goals too. And that's really where some of those more empirical data pieces come into play. I've been talking a lot about this book that came out this past year called Christian Higher Education, An Empirical Guide. It's by a guy at Baylor named Perry Glanzer, Dr. Perry Glanzer. And Glanzer in this book goes through all of the different Christian colleges, Christian and Catholic institutions in the United States and Canada, and rates them on a scale from 0 to 28 on how they've operationalized the Christian mission. So again, from an empirical standpoint, he said, and really he's saying, how Christian is this place? So he said, he's talked to students all the time who say, well, I'm going to go to this Christian institution called Texas Christian University, TCU. Well, that is not a Christian university and maybe hasn't been for a long, long time. And they might not even claim to be, but it says it right in their name. And so he said he wrote this book and did this research in order to really help students and families make those choices. And so it's a really positive piece. I think it's super helpful. Of course, he's not doing interviews. There's not a heart check for how Christian an institution is. But he's asking questions like, when you go on the website, do they talk about Jesus? Is it in the mission statement? Who has to be a Christian to work there, to attend there? Do they have chapel? Who has to go to chapel? Lots and lots of very empirical, data-driven points. And I think I bought 50 copies of the book and I'm kind of handing them out like candy because it's so important for students and families to be able to ask those questions and get some real data on how to compare. And that's what, you know, places like US News and Princeton Review are trying to do is help from a data-driven standpoint, help people compare. Because there are 4,000 higher education institutions in the United States alone. And so to come up against that kind of imagine that if you went into a store and there were 4,000 different chocolate candy bars. How would you make that choice, right? There would be no way that you would be able to, even over your lifetime, try all 4,000 of those. So you just kind of, it's almost like a dartboard, right? And so it's really hard. So then, you know, the person with the best marketing rises to the top. The person with the most name recognition or the longest. Those are the places that I think tend to rise to the top. And that, again, doesn't always serve students and families very well.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That is definitely a very good point. And now moving along with the same idea of kind of educational trends and future growth, our next question is, how do colleges and universities effectively balance offering a broad liberal arts education with specialized programs so the students are well equipped for the workforce?
Yeah, this was one of my favorite questions as I looked at the questions ahead of time. I think that I just heard somebody say this a while back. They said 80% of the jobs that will be available when you graduate are not invented yet. Now think about that, right? So even this thing that we're doing right now, a podcaster, this was not invented 15 years ago. If you had said podcast to someone 15 years ago, they would have said, what? And now it's ubiquitous, right? And so how do we train students to be able to adapt to new trends, to new things? I believe, and most people that are doing are at the kind of places that I'm at, is that's through a liberal arts mindset. So at a liberal arts institution, you're being taught to think, you're being taught to learn. So if all you want to do is fix a car, then you can take a course in auto mechanics and learn how to do that. But I'll tell you, the car that comes out 10 years from now will be different from the car that is out today. And so you better be a lifelong learner. You better be somebody, unless you're going to get stuck in, well, I don't know how to fix that car anymore. The auto mechanic is always going to new trainings. They're understanding what that's all about. So I think that is a liberal arts standpoint, right? It's not just so I can have good conversations at a dinner party, which I think is the, you know, kind of cliche about a liberal arts education. It's so that I can understand what the world is really all about and be a learner who is not afraid to dig into a new topic. And truth told, I was not that learner at age 18. I have become that, right? I've been somebody that says, okay, I like to read. I like to dig into new topics. And I think that's part of the growth process of a college student as well, just from a developmental standpoint.
All right, thank you. And now our next question sort of fits under admissions, but also culture. So the question is, how important is the admissions process and what role does that process play in reflecting a college or a university's like core values, would you say?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll turn that over to Tyler.
Sure.
Tyler, talk about like what your admissions experience was like and how important was the admissions office. And tell it true, because I think your brother was probably the most important piece. Yeah. But
yeah, for sure. So I had an older brother that graduated from Taylor
last
fall.
Yeah.
And I have a current freshman or a current brother who's a freshman there too.
Got it.
So there's been three kids that have gone through Taylor so far. So I do remember my campus tour being really like influential. I remember like looking at Taylor and being like, wow, this chapel is insane. And then like seeing the culture that they have and seeing this wanted spiritual community and the intentionality of the tour guides and
it was
great. And so my brother did a lot of that. I saw what he was experiencing and in me being in high school and just like wanting that, that was like an easy sell for me kind of. So from the admissions side, yes, definitely really important, especially for someone that hasn't visited campus before. So I wasn't in that boat, but it's super important because it's like maybe the first step in someone seeing a college for the first time. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was my brother. But also like I do remember my tour guide being really intentional, and I do remember the people that I was with, the students that I was interacting with in the classes that I visited, and the lunch hosts I had, and these little things that all make a big difference. So
but you talk about your overnight stay and what that was like too.
Yeah. The overnight stay that I had. So Taylor does the 24 at Taylor, which is you stay overnight in someone's residence hall.
Oh, we should do that.
And yeah, it's awesome. So you stay overnight in someone's residence hall and sleep in their room and just be a Taylor student for a day. And so that's what I did in my junior year of high school. And so, you know, as a junior and staying in my brother's room and just talking to the guys on the wing who had just met me that night.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was a part of their wing for the night. And so I did that overnight visit and I came back to school and I instantly got this feeling of junioritis. So you might have senioritis, but I had junioritis when I came back to high school. That next day of high school was like so tough because it's like, why do I have to be back here? Like, why can't I be at Taylor? So that's what I had. And that was kind of just like the clicking point that I wanted to be at Taylor. And so those special events that we do, the events that other colleges might not do, is something that sets us apart. And that's something you know, something that's sought after by students. Like, I want to experience that and, you know, be that student for that day.
And what I would say is our job is facilitation. So I've said over and over and over again, nobody comes to a university because of the admissions office. They come to the university because of the students that they see. They come to the university because of the faculty and staff. And our job is to facilitate and to showcase.
Got it.
So now I always do say, if the admissions office isn't any good, it's not going to get any better. So if the admissions office won't return your phone calls, if the admissions office won't return an email, then no one will at the institution.
Got it.
So I think it is a gauge. We always talk about the service fall off.
What's
so
that?
We work really hard not to have a service fall off. So our level of service is extra mile. My team, we will go the extra mile to provide great customer service. So we want to make really sure that there's not a service fall off once a student comes to campus. That on day one of welcome weekend, there's still as high of a level of customer service. It's going to look different, of course, because now that you're living there and you're doing an everyday thing, but there still needs to be a super high level of customer service. So I think that's the most important thing. And we are ambassadors, right? So last night we had a great event with a bunch of ICS students and their families and to talk about Taylor University. And they may never get to Taylor University. So we may be their only conduit, their only picture of what Taylor University is. Or we may be the one that gets them to visit, right? So we take that very seriously, that we want to. And for me, my goal is to give as accurate a picture as possible towards that fit conversation, right? I had a great supervisor that said in sales, which is what the admissions office is, it's sales, that the worst thing that can happen is a surprise. So if a student gets to campus and they say, wow, this was better than I thought it was going to be. We've undersold. We didn't do a very good job. But on the flip side of that, if they get to campus and they say, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, then we've oversold. So my goal is always in our events, in our visits, in our conversations with students, in our marketing material, is to give as accurate a picture of who we are as an institution as possible. So that when a student gets there, they know exactly what they've purchased and they're excited about that purchase. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've had the high level of success that we have over the last few years.
All right. Thank you so much. That's very insightful. And I've got another culture-focused question as well. It is, in what ways can a college or university foster a welcoming and engaging campus culture for both students and faculty?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it has to start from the very top, right? So who are the people that are demonstrating that welcoming environment? Who are the people that are engaging in that? And it can't just be the admissions office. One of the things I love about Taylor University is when people come up to me and say, do you have people stationed, planted around campus to say hello? And I always say, no, and that would be really weird if we did, right? But our students at Taylor University are excited to share this place with each other, with new and incoming people. And so we were just rated the number 3 happiest students in the country by the Princeton Review. And some of that is the self-selection of who we are and where we are. So a student who is not interested in Taylor University has no reason to come to Taylor University, right? So there are places where it's close, it's affordable, it works. We're not any of those things. We are the type kind of place that the only people that come there is people who are super excited about digging deep into relationships with each other and with the Lord and want that to be their college experience. I talk all every day about Christ-centered, rigorous academics in an ultra-engaged community. And so if that's what you want, you come to Taylor University. We do that better than any place else in the world. And so you come for that, and then we make that, and people are super excited about what that looks like going forward. Providing a welcoming environment, I don't think it's something where you can just say, hey, we encourage people to say hello to each other on. No. Some of that is just Jesus stuff, right? As we become more like Jesus, we become more welcoming. Well, if you're a large state institution where Jesus isn't a part of the picture at all, I think that you have to, go towards altruism and things that really are not central to the mission. Tyler, talk just a little bit about more about welcoming, what it felt like for you to be on campus, either as a visitor or as somebody who was new, and what that welcome felt like.
It was awesome. The way that the tour guides knew my name. That was something that like stuck out to me. Like, hey, you know, what do you like to do? And it wasn't just about like, here's the facts and here's Taylor, here's what you need to know. Here's maybe the selling points or something like that. It was more of, it's a catered tour, right? It's getting to know you and it's caring about you. You're not just another, you know, notch in our goal or whatever. It's not just another notch on your tour belt. It's what do you like to do? And it's praying for you at the end of the tour as well. That was something that stuck out to me. And something, you know, kind of practical that I noticed. And that was something that like made me feel welcomed and gave me a sense of belonging before I was even there.
Got it.
And so that's what Taylor is. That's, we want to welcome you before you're officially, you know, a student on campus.
Yeah.
They made a point of asking about what I was involved in. And, you know, if I said I played baseball, they're like, oh, if the tour guide was a sports person. Oh, I played baseball or softball too in high school. What position did you play? And then you talk about that. And then you, all of a sudden you're talking about coaches and your team and how good you are, or, you know, maybe how bad you are. And then, you know, you're going along the lines and going deeper into a topic that is not about Taylor. Like, that's not why you're there. Like, you signed up for a Taylor at grandpa's visit, but you know, you're talking about something else other than that.
Yeah. Just a follow-up question for me. Did you go to any other university tours?
Yes, I did. So I went to only one other one.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And was there like a big significance in how you felt going into that university?
It's difficult because I was at Taylor a couple more times.
Got it.
Other than this other institution.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was different. You know, I was kind of set on, there wasn't a point where I was ever like, I don't think I'm going to Taylor. I was set on Taylor, and then I gave this other school like a shot. Like, okay, I just want to visit to not block out anything.
Okay, so to finish off this segment, we have two questions, one about the present and one about the future. So my question is about the present, and what would you say are some challenges that colleges and universities face today, and how are they sort of innovating and changing to face these challenges? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question, and the number one answer that you'll hear from most everybody is the enrollment cliff. So the enrollment cliff is 2008 was the Great Recession.
Yeah.
2008 plus 18 gives you 2026. And that is, so the thought is in 2008, the Great Recession, people had fewer kids.
Got it.
And so the number of students in high school has shrunk, period. So for Christian liberal arts institutions, not only has the number of high school students shrunk, the number of high school students that claim the name of Jesus has shrunk. And so the number of high school students that claim the name of Jesus has shrunk, plus the number of high school students that claim the name of Jesus that are interested in a Christian liberal arts institution has shrunk, plus the number of students that are in that boat that also are able to pay for that kind of an institution has shrunk. So the customer customer base is really shrinking.
Yeah.
So different institutions have taken different approaches to this. And mostly I'm talking about Christian higher education institutions. If you want, I can try and broaden it a little bit to higher education in general. But so what's happened in Christian higher education is institutions have done one of two things. They've either said, we're going to be all things to all people, and tried to bring in more people from different areas, and that has not worked very well. So especially around issues of culture and politics.
Yeah.
Oh, that's who you are? Okay, we can be that. Oh, you're this? Oh, we can be that. And that has not done very well for most people. Those institutions that have done well are institutions that have said, this is who we are. And we are honing in on the brand and honing in on our mission and taking a stand wherever that is culturally or politically, but that's who we are. And this, we are very clear and delivering that clear message about mission, vision, and values to the customer base. I always say nobody wants to buy vanilla. Vanilla is a very hard flavor to sell. You like vanilla? Most people don't like vanilla.
Oh.
Taylor University is not a vanilla institution. It's very specific, right? Uh-huh. And so I think that that's really important, is to put out a very specific, very nuanced version of who you are as an institution. And then if students are attracted to that, great. If they're not, well, they can find someplace else. But to try and be, again, all things to all people, I think is not a good thing in this particular time. But, you know, generally speaking, in higher education, folks are looking at different delivery modes, online. And I think really at the end of the day, for a place like Taylor University, it is back to what we've been doing for 178 years, this deep relational place, incarnational education, where we're face-to-face, digging into what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this world, whatever the discipline is, and going hard after those things. Yeah, so Miss Jen was talking about the four P's of college choice yesterday. She talked about people, place, program, and price. And so all of those things are things that I think institutions, especially institutions that are struggling, are trying to get better at. So you're talking about program. Yes, by all means. So for instance, at Taylor, we just launched a nursing program. We are in the process of launching a physician assistant program. So those are things that healthcare is, everything is about healthcare right now. So we are moving harder into those places, really pushing. So our top programs over the years have been education, business, and psychology. And those are still really strong programs for us, but we're bringing on these other programs as well. And you have to be careful with that too, because are those really strong programs, or are those things that an institution is just saying, well, maybe we'll try this, and throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks, right? So there are some of those institutions that are maybe in their last gasp that are, you know, trying some different programs. But I think, yes, for sure, always working on the product side, the program side, to make sure that it's what the customer wants. I mean, that's just business, right? So whatever it is, if Netflix is still sending out DVDs in the mail, they're in trouble, right? So institutions, businesses have to change and morph. Or your Blockbuster Video. You'll have to look those up on the internet, because I'm sure you don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
All right, now that we were talking about the present, let's talk about the future. And so what are some ways colleges and universities are preparing students to be lifelong learners, to be able to adapt in a rapidly changing world for the future?
So I think this goes back to the liberal arts curriculum, right? I think that as you dig into subjects that you're unaware of, that are new to you, that maybe you say to yourself, why am I learning this? I love that question from students. Why am I learning this? So that you can learn how to learn, right? So that you can learn how to understand something that maybe initially you aren't interested in.
Yeah.
Welcome to adulthood, right? So welcome to something where your boss drops something on your desk and says, we don't know anything about this. You need to. What? So that might be your calculus class that you really didn't want anything to do with. That might be your history class that you didn't want anything to do with as a business major, right? So that new project that your boss drops on your desk, or even your position's eliminated. We lived in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is the headquarters of Target. I'm watching the news one day, and Target had two meetings that day. One meeting was the you're staying. One meeting was the you're going, pick up your box, and you have an hour to exit the building. So all of those exit the building folks, hopefully they were lifelong learners, right? Hopefully they had dug into that general education core in their undergraduate that helped them become, understand how to say, I've got to reshape myself. I'm no longer a Target employee. And so how do I make this work? Because I've got a family to feed. I've got a mortgage to pay. You know, I have to 40 more years of work that I have to do. So I really think those are some of the amazing pieces of lifelong learning. I think it's also getting back to who the student is. Tyler Smith is going to have no problem finding a job because he's a hustler. He's had four internships as a junior with the same company. No problem whatsoever, right? Work will never be a problem for Tyler. He'll have all sorts of problems, right? But work will never be one of those because he's a hustler. Now, if you're not a hustler, lifelong learner or not, you're going to struggle. And so I really think, yes, those are things that the institution can do, but I think those are character things as well. And those are things that hopefully your parents have instilled in you growing up. Issues of character, issues of grit, right? Grit is a super important topic that folks are talking about. So the folks that got let go from Target that have grit, no problem. They're in a new job as soon as the severance runs out, and probably before, right? And then the folks that don't have a lot of grit, those are the ones that are going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right, thank you. And final question, our final question is, what advice would you give to students and families who are navigating the college search process and trying to find the right university fit?
Yeah, I would just say from a student's perspective, I would just say find what works for you. Make a checklist. Do I want to do a public university? Do I want to do a Christian university? How many kids do I want at the school? You know, find what works for you and make a checklist and narrow it down. That's what I would say. That's what I did. You know, when I was a little kid, my dad graduated from IU. And so when I was a little kid, I was thinking, oh, IU seems like a fun place. And I like to, you know, watch their college basketball games when I was a kid. So IU sounds great. And then, you know, the more I got to high school and figured out, you know, and had those classes and those activities in high school of like, what college do you actually want to attend? I figured out that IU is actually the complete opposite of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do a Christian school and, you know, get to know my professors and get to know my classmates and, you know, different things like that. And so I would just say, take advantage of the activities that you're given in high school. And then I would also say from like a student's perspective, I tell prospective students this all the time. Like, I took it upon myself, my senior year of high school especially, like I just started like kind of freaking out about my grades and about like getting all A's and like putting all of my work into my academics. And, you know, not that that's a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. And that's what, you know, we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work hard. But I probably could have chilled out a little bit more if I was going to be honest. I couldn't have put a lot. I put a lot of stress on myself and I didn't need to put a lot of stress on myself. So I would just say take it one day at a time and to just relax a little bit and give yourself grace and figure out what works for you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Andy and Tyler, for sharing some great insights and advice, not only about Taylor University and what Taylor has to offer, but also some practical things that students and parents can do when it comes to choosing a college or university that fits. So thank you for that. This also concludes our first segment, so stick around as we'll be right back with our second segment right after this short PSA announcement.
One, two, three, four.
For today's PSA, we will have a quick interview with the special guest who's going to talk about the upcoming Speech Mania competition that will be hosted here at ICS. So, hello, and thank you for joining us here at Students Incorporated. For the PSA, could you please introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
Hi, thank you for having me. So first of all, I'll just introduce myself for a little bit. My name's Proud. I'm currently a senior at ISB, and I'm the founder of Speech Mania, and I'm also the national representative for Thailand Worlds for the past 2 years, and this year is my first time transitioning as the national director for Thailand.
All right, nice. Thank you so much. So now, Proud, since you're here to talk about Speech Mania, could you tell us more about what Speech Mania's purpose and initiatives are?
So Speech Mania was founded with a focus on making speech-related activities more accessible, and we plan on organizing more competitions, workshops, and training sessions that are basically just decided to help participants get a little bit more used to public speaking. And one of our most exciting upcoming initiatives is that we'll be hosting a qualifier for World's Individual Public Speaking and Debate Championship.
Amazing.
And the top five speaker is going to get to go to Worlds representing Thailand.
Nice. Are you one of those speakers? Or do we...
I don't think I'll be competing this year. I've been doing it for 2 years. I think it's time I retire and host.
All right. Well, that's fine. And Proud, what inspired you to start Speech Mania?
So I think for me, the reason I wanted to start Speech Mania because I feel like there's just a really influx of like other activities, but there's so little like opportunity for people who want to do public speaking, public speaking related activities. And I think I was really lucky because I was able to go to Worlds twice. And I think for other people, they don't even know Worlds exists for public speaking. So I think I want to bring that awareness into Thailand a little bit more.
Got it.
And I had a really amazing experience with public speaking. I met some of my best friends
from
public speaking.
Nice.
And I also think I grew a lot as an individual. A lot of embarrassing speeches. And a lot of really good speeches. So I think it really helped me learn and nurture myself as an individual a lot. So I wanted to just bring that same opportunity, really.
Really inspiring, Proud. Thank you for what you do and for Speech Mania as well. And for anyone listening who wants to get involved, Proud, how can they connect with Speech Mania?
Speech Mania is on Instagram for the little self-promo. So for anyone who's interested, feel free to reach out to me directly via Instagram or just come follow us on speechmania.th and you can drop us a text on there or you can send us an email. Our email is linked in our Instagram. We plan on hosting a lot more events and potential partnerships with other international competitions as well. So whether you're looking to learn, compete, or just support an organization, we'd really appreciate if you could check us out.
All right, could you say the Instagram handle again?
Speechmania.th.
All lowercase.
All lowercase.
All lowercase. All right, and that is it for today's PSA. A big thank you to Proud and your commitment to Speech Mania.
All right, we're back with segment two, or part two, and what we're going to do for this segment is we're going to ask some questions generally around the topic of college, university, as well. We're still on the general theme and topic of what makes a university or college great. And so to do this, we're actually going to talk to a lot of our podcast team members because many of them are juniors and seniors in high school. And some of them have been looking at universities. Some of them are still looking. And so they're in that process of trying to define what makes a college or university great. So right now I've got Toto and Hiwi in the studio, and our first question for them is, how would you describe or define the term college, and what is the difference between a college and university? So maybe Toto, we can start with you.
So like the differences between college and university is like whether like there's an undergraduate program and a graduate program. So colleges, they do offer undergraduate programs, but then like they don't offer graduate programs. And that's where university comes in, which they will offer both undergraduate and graduate programs.
All right, Hebe, what do you think the term college or university means to you? And what are some things you think are the difference between the two?
I also agree to Toto that colleges focus more on undergraduate programs, while universities provide a wide range of undergraduate, graduate, and PhD programs.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Let's move on to our next question. Anne Premi's in the studio, and she's going to guide us in our next question.
Thank you, guys. And I think it's also important to like kind of consider that like the difference between college and university might look different in different countries and like across different curriculums. Okay, perfect. And then moving on, which aspects of a college education or experience are most important to you?
I guess to me, it'll either be like the sports or the community. I mean, I'm a big sports watcher. So like if they have like a strong sports team, I'll like definitely go watch it. And then the community, you know, it's better to like feel connected than detached from like the people there. So I believe if there's a strong community, I think it's like a good part.
I love that. I think school spirit is important, right? And then depending on like college size and like different things. So that's cool. I love community too. Okay, your turn, Hebe.
I think education is important, but adding on to total, I think community is also a factor that is very important because having a sense of belonging gives you connection and also provides emotional support and helps to enhance your mental health.
Yeah, I think so too. So that it's like your home away from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you too for those answers. We're going to move on to our next set of students. Okay. We have Elsa and Maddie in the studio, and we are going to continue on our conversation of what makes a college or university great. And so our next question for them would be, what are some unique aspects colleges and universities have for different learners? So maybe Elsa, you can go first with that question.
While I was applying for Taiwan universities like NTU, I had to go through like a different application process because I'm a Taiwanese citizen living in a foreign country. And there's a different portal for that. So I think one unique feature is that for the application process, they actually have different application portals for citizens that are living, Taiwanese citizens living in different countries. So for me, I had to do the Thailand portal. And another unique feature is that in NTU, there are actually three different groups that you get to select from when you applying. And the first group is liberal arts. The second and third are more science and math based. So if you're, let's say you're like a med student and you want to go for like a medical program, then you would have to choose the second and third group. But that also means that you're not allowed to choose any majors from the first group. And a good thing about the Taiwanese university application is that you can select up to 70 majors that you want to major in for universities all across Taiwan to see which one you're gonna make in. So I think that's a really unique feature that Taiwanese universities have to offer.
Up to 7 majors, 70, that's a lot. Okay, yeah, Maddie.
So for me, I want to emphasize and talk about liberal arts colleges. I feel like with the smaller classes it offers, I'm able to connect with the professors or some of my friends better than really big universities. And I feel like it offers like freedom for me to explore different areas of interest. And it just really like opens up opportunities for me to like explore into the business field or any other fields that like I haven't heard of. And it makes me become a better learner as well.
Yeah, I like that. And I really like a liberal arts college education too. I feel like you can explore more. And also there's that intersectionality view lenses that you view like a lot of classes under. So thank you. And then our next question is, what are some ways do you think higher education will change to meet the needs of like the next generation of students as well as our ever-changing world?
I think as our generation is moving more towards technology, like and social media, because before in the previous generation, there wasn't a lot of need for tech. But then now a lot of kids base their education mostly off technology or any technology. So I feel like universities and higher education in general will have to change their programs to a more, like I would say, like technology based. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Using more like technology equipments like computers and laptops instead of like hand taking notes. Yeah, I feel like that would be like a really important thing that they might have to change is to meet like the norm in this generation.
Absolutely. I think so too. Okay, Maddie, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Elsa. I feel like the world is evolving into like a tech based world. And so all the curriculums will probably evolve into something like related to technology. For example, like computer science, it's a really famous curriculum, and it's hard to find jobs if you're a CS major. And I feel like it's because the world is evolving to like tech-based world, like I mentioned, and so yeah, technology.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll definitely be integrated more. All right, thank you guys so much, and then now we'll have our next set of students.
Okay, and finally, we have a couple more questions, and I have Mia, Rebecca, and Premi's going to answer some of these questions as well. So one of our final questions is this. What advice would you give to students navigating scholarship opportunities and financial aid as part of their college search? So maybe, Rebecca, you can start off with this question.
For me personally, I applied to Christian colleges in the United States, such as Calvin University, Wheaton College, and other small Christian liberal arts colleges. For me, I went onto their official website on Google, and you can search up the scholarship section, and they will tell you they have visit grant, and some of them they have more named scholarship offer, like Calvin University. And some other ones, you can also follow their official Instagram account where they will update the time that you can apply for a specific scholarship that you are eligible for, such as like missionary scholarships and financial aid. And others, you can also, if you are in the States, you can go on campus and have a campus tour. They will tell you the other scholarship they are offering for first generation and for grade-based scholarships.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. And so I actually applied to university here in Thailand, in Japan, and also in the States. And I would say the same thing as you. So definitely go on to their website. And, you know, like they obviously have like a little spot for like scholarships, and you'll be able to see like which ones you're actually eligible for. But I would say like just like personally put yourself in a position where you can receive a scholarship. Well, for me, like in Japan, like there were scholarships for like athletes and grade-based scholarships, and the grade-based scholarships were kind of high. So if you weren't eligible, then you wouldn't be, then you probably wouldn't get the scholarship. So I would definitely say like put yourself into a position where you can actually receive a scholarship, and I would say that's like having a lot of activities and also maintaining a really good grade throughout high school.
Thank you guys. I would agree too. I think having like being a strong applicant already is also really important, like you said, and also important not only in, you know, applying and getting into those colleges, but also like receiving those scholarships. And like with this question, I just really want to talk about, like, to start off with, I think the caveat of inequality. Like obviously there's so much inequality in the world, right? And I feel like I've been able to see this a lot, really truly, in the college process. I feel like, you know, some people don't need financial aid, period, and that's it for them. But then, whereas some other people would need financial aid, but then there's caveats too. Like, for instance, if you're applying to US colleges, if you happen to be US citizen, your life is much easier. You have an infinite more resources and opportunities than others do. And it comes to like, oh, how much is your family income, blah, blah, blah. And if you qualify for a Pell Grant, you're going to have to fill out the FAFSA, thesis profile, just an infinite number more. But I think the advice I would give is just to be resourceful, to always ask, because I really do feel like, especially in the age that we are in, we have like access. If we have access to the internet, we have access to an incredible amount of resources and opportunities. And I think I would also recommend starting early is really important, especially with the scholarship programs, with a lot of them having deadlines that are earlier. One of the saddest things that you don't want to do is missing a scholarship opportunity just because you didn't know the deadline, because you missed the deadline, because you didn't research fast enough. And also, I would also recommend like breaking down the types of scholarships, knowing your situation, and knowing if you need institutional scholarships, outside scholarships, how those work, how those programs work, and like just in general, as well as specifically applying to these colleges, these scholarships. And I just also do want to say, if you do get a scholarship, you do need to be very proud of yourself, because I do feel like, especially scholarships, institutional scholarships to like T20 or like top tier schools in the United States are incredibly hard. And I would even argue maybe even harder than getting accepted into like a higher ranked school. It's just incredibly hard. And so I think my other advice is just to know that, yes, that, you know, some people don't have to worry about this at all. Some people have to worry about it to a certain extent. Some people have to worry about it a lot. And honestly, sometimes seeking for financial aid feels as heavy or equally as heavy as just applying to college itself. And I think just knowing that, and also just having empathy. If you don't need scholarships, if you don't need financial aid, just having empathy and like having understanding for those people that might do, and just having the awareness raised, I feel like is something that is really important. And so just in general, just all of that, start early, research. There's so many opportunities. I promise there are so many opportunities. You can do any, like you can do a lot of things. Just go out there, do your research. And also, like Mia said, have a strong applicant, be a strong applicant. Life is going to be easier for you. And just, yeah, let's say so. Sorry, that's a long-winded answer, but I had a lot to say.
That's okay, because you guys are in the middle of doing this. This advice is really good for especially those students who are coming up and going to be doing this next year. Our final question, and we can just be really quick with this one, is from your experience, what resources can students use to search or research colleges or universities effectively before making a final decision? So maybe you can give us a quick answer of maybe from your perspective, what you did, and maybe some advice to students who will be kind of jumping into this the next year or two. So Rebecca, go ahead and you can start with this one.
For me, I went to two websites to check to research about the colleges, such as NISH.com and US College, or like we call that US News. We can type the specific colleges that we want to research about. They will give a range from A to D or E about their academics, diversity, and athletes, party, and then several other categories that they will be grading on. And some other research that I've done is go to Google and research on their official website. You can see their student life, their campus pictures, and also the clubs that they're providing, etc. And for some of you that have the opportunity to actually go on the campus, it's also a really good thing that you can do as a research to see if you like the dorm, if you like the college environment, and about the community that you will be in the future.
Yeah, so one website that I keep going back to, it's the US News and World Report website. Like I go to this website when I need numbers. So when I need like a specific out-of-state tuition fee, or like I need a specific ranking for this university. So yeah, like, I think that like the US News and World Report website is like really good if you want like specific numbers.
I think I would do want to say like the websites that you mentioned are really helpful. They've been helpful to me too, and like, especially in like formal research, as well as the college's own website, especially when you're writing your Y college essays, guys. And also I think, but what's also really important to remember, I think, is also kind of informal sources. Because I feel like informal sources, like maybe like Reddit or Quora or just like TikTok. Yeah, Instagram. Oh, I think one advice I got that was really good is just if you want to know the vibes of the college, watch like a vlog. Watch a vlog on YouTube. I think that's really helpful too. Because then it's like a more, like some, I think there's like review, college review YouTubes on videos too. So I think those, the formal ones are also really helpful, but so are the informal ones that kind of give you like a more honest and candid and in some ways an insightful take on the college when you're researching. So yeah, all of your resources, use all of your resources.
And I want to add on to Premi's answer that we can also do research by interviewing others, like the currently enrolled students in colleges that you are interested in, and talk about how their classes are like and if they're enjoying their colleges.
Okay, that ends part two or segment two. And we really appreciate our students coming in and just giving some practical, real advice, especially because many of them are in this process right now. So we hope that this episode, which is how can a college or university be great? Because there's so many out there, especially within the U.S. system. I think there's over 4,000 just within the U.S.'s educational system, higher educational system. So there's lots of choices out there. And I think it's on the students' responsibility is to really do their homework and seek out the one that best fits them. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks again to our special guest from Taylor University and to our student guest for this episode. We hope it was informative and insightful and helps all of us answer the question, what makes a college or university great? I guess that is for each person to decide themselves. Okay, stay tuned for our next episode as we dive into the topic of entrepreneurship. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives, sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.